Today on the show, Radical Ones, let's join Shelley Duvall and her friends as they journey through Rhymeland in 1990s Mother Goose Rockin' Rhyme.
I'm Little Bo Peep and I've lost my sheep and I don't know where to find them.
It's time to get radical.
Hello there.
It's showtime.
What is this, trick-or-treat?
Too late, fool!
Did I do that?
Good morning, Charlie.
Sailor Moon, the champion of justice.
Deal with it.
Gotten
us
Uzi. The power
is yours. Get down, honey, get down. Yeah.
And look, I won't go far, okay? If the apocalypse comes,
hold your fire. I'm a human.
My name is Grace Jones.
Power of three will set us free.
But I am one to gossip, so if anyone asks you, you ain't heard it from me. No, you have.
No more room in hell. The dead will walk here.
Welcome back, Radical Ones, to another episode of the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast. As always, I am your host, Radical Ryan Hunter, here with Rob, the movie geek himself, as we continue our Rob celebration.
That's what I want to call it.
We're calling it Rob celebration. Okay.
We celebrate Rob with a classic for you. This is Mother Goose, Rockin' Rhyme. Did Mr. Anniversary plan this?
Oh, no. What? I probably did. Wait, what was the date?
May 19th of 1990. So this is airing like a few days before.
That is so funny. I probably did.
I mean, what are the odds? Like, it's perfect in this month. One of the fun things about this is I had never seen this movie before. I had never heard of this movie before.
Yeah.
And Rob comes along. And as we said in our last episode, we want to get through a lot of Rob's favorites. So, and I'm going to leave this to Rob, but we literally just watched the movie on YouTube together.
Yeah. When was the last time we did that? Like season one?
Crush.
Was it season one or two?
It was season two, but it might as well be because it was early days. I'm excited because I've literally have just seen the movie for the first time. So let's talk Mother Goose, Rob. And by the way, it's called Mother Goose Rockin' Rhyme, also known as Shelley Duvall's Mother Goose Rockin' Rhyme, or Shelley Duvall. Rock in Rhymeland, and she is not Mother Goose as I had expected going into this.
That is fair. That is totally fair. I mean, she produced it. She's the biggest star in the movie. You would think she would play Mother Goose, but they tried to be age accurate, and I applaud them for getting Miss Stapleton to do the role.
So Rob prepared me before we even started. He's like, it's a who's who of blasts from the past, especially if you are from our generation before, I guess after a little, but my God, Rob.
Yeah, a mixture of movie, television, and music icons and well-known entertainers all popped up in this movie. God only knows why. I think Duvall had them on blackmail. They owed the director something. I don't know, but people jumped on this apparently for the mouse because there was no reason for any of them to be in this movie. But they all showed up. They all showed up.
And the fact that this movie and the short time I had to be researched in between watching it, there's a huge fan base for this movie, Rob. And in 35 years, basically, there is no official DVD release. There is no streaming of this movie officially. Matter of fact, Rob, this I just found out. This film became a mainstay on the Disney Channel, regularly being rerun at all hours of the day. And of course, a cut VHS tape, which Rob has.
I have an actual VHS tape. I mean, it's not bootleg or anything. It's an authentic case. What you would see from the original poster, like, yeah, I'm never getting rid of that. I have no idea if it still works, but I still have it.
So take us back. Did you see the movie prior to buying it, or did you buy it and then experience it?
No, I must have seen it prior. I mean, just hearing you say that it did air on the Disney Channel a lot, that's probably where a lot of my exposure exposure came from. How I got it on DVD or VHS, I'm not sure. Could it have been Target? Could it have been a pawn shop? Could I have literally ordered it? I have no, I probably ordered it when I was an adult. I'm sure it was something for me to buy. I wish I can remember where I got it, but I made sure to buy it for sure. Yeah.
Again, saying the Disney part didn't end up on Disney Plus. I am shocked because it's even saying that it has developed not only a cult following, but there's been websites, they said, since the 90s dedicated to the strangeness, as they're calling it in this and the trivia, the strangeness and wackiness of this movie.
It's so crazy the amount of work that was put into this picture. And yes, just I just don't see a lot of moments, especially in the 90s, where they were able to pull this off and just get so many stars to do it just because, right?
Because
this movie didn't go to theaters, you know, like, I don't know if anybody got crazy paid, but people were into it, or, you know, there must have been some wave where they really just like, let's do it for the kids, something.
I gotta tell you, my first thought after finishing the movie, and actually throughout it, and I wanted to save it for the recording, was everyone looks honestly like they're having the time of their lives.
I think
to me, it's like they like got lost in these over the top personas.
Well, you know, it would be so fun to find out if any of these actors just sort of took the character and made it their own, because all of these characters were sort of done in a way of like, okay, we've done this for like 80 years. Like, I'm over it.
Yes.
Like, everybody's all like down and out and just like, ugh, okay, sure, let's do this again. There was just a lot of characters who were just like, oh, it's cute when you're young, and now these nursery rhymes are so old, like, this is what it looks like to just like literally have one job for the rest of your life, and just, this is your life, this is your persona. And so I wonder if anybody had creative control over how they presented these characters, or was this literal script? Like, did they really envision all of these characters acting the way that they did? I would love to know.
You know, that's a great question, Rob, because, and we'll get through the cast, because, like,
yeah,
amazing.
You guys,
but
you need to press pause, look on either Wiki or IMDb, look up the cast as we finish the rest of this episode. It is insane how many great people are in this movie.
Yeah, so that alone, this is 1990s. You could not do this today, and you might get Katy Perry, maybe, or like some, like one person. I don't know. This is my other description after Pee Wee Herman goes to Wizard of Oz, a little bit of Roger Rabbit, a little bit of I'm Living in the Circus, but all together it is so cute, Rob. It is so adorable. And I gotta tell you, Shelley Duvall is, she always played, I mean, when she's not in, you know, horror movies, and,
sure,
and rest your soul, I mean, she just passed last year.
Yeah.
She is so adorable in this movie. Beyond the costume, which I was talking to Rob as we were watching it, it's like, it looks iconic just from me watching it for the first time. So if someone's grew up on this, like Rob has, she is beautiful.
Yeah.
This red hair, it's like a cute outfit, but also, dare I say, sexy on her. But at the same time, she just plays this as an adorable, cute, innocent, like, I just loved her. I loved her.
Yeah. The costumes were, you know, characters on its own, honestly. Like, I wonder if they even got to dress themselves. They were just like, here's a rack. Put on whatever you want and get on set, because we gotta go.
She has this like yellow bustier, like Madonna looking thing underneath her costume, which,
yeah,
is
there was just a lot of color in this, and I think that was a big thing, you know, because we're putting it on for the kids, you know, just make it as extravagant as possible. And to be fair, I wouldn't even be surprised if the kids dressed them all, to, you know, to be honest.
Yeah.
Especially Bo Peep, because these are outfits that these kids would want to go to school in when they're like 2, 3 years old, 4 years old. They'd be like, I'm wearing this to school today. And they're like, nope.
Yeah, and change. This looks good. Everything matches and everything looks, yeah, I am ready for school. And it almost looks like the set in my head when we were watching it. It looks like, not a Broadway set, but it's like a set. And you're supposed to look like it's a set, but it's cute. And it's almost like it looks circular to me.
Yeah, they didn't try and, you know, make it realistic to where, oh, we're actually building a set to, you know, like, they didn't go on location. This was all soundstage.
Soundstage,
it was literally
yes.
them putting on a play. It really was.
A play. A musical.
And I think that was the huge point of it, because this isn't the real world, right? This is Rhymeland. And so it's going to look different than just going on location and just having some exterior background of like the park or something like that. Like, this is a set. And, you know, all the set pieces, the buildings, the roads.
But it looks so cute and it works.
Not too far away, there's a place called Rhymeland, home to some pretty interesting characters.
I'm Little Bo Peep and I've lost my sheep and I don't know where to find them.
It's a place where Mother Goose rules the roost and classic fairy tales come to life like never before.
Hi, Humpty. Long time no see.
So come along as we travel to Rhymeland in a magical, musical video adventure from Shelley Duvall. Mother Goose, rock and rhyme. When Mother Goose winds up missing,
you've got to save me!
It's up to Little Bo Peep and friends to find her before all the stories in Rhymeland disappear.
It's a very woolly emergency.
Join in on the search with Little Miss Muffet.
Can I fluff your tuffet?
Jack and Jill.
Unfortunately, there are a couple of klutzes.
And many, many more. Don't miss all your favorite stars, starring as all your favorite fairy tale friends. Get ready for Music and Mayhem, brought to you by the one and only Shelley Duvall.
Great!
Don't miss Shelley Duvall's Mother Goose Rock and Ride, now available on home video from Lyric Studios.
It deals with the events surrounding Gordon Goose and Little Bo Peep, who, while still trying to find her sheep, goes to Mother Goose's house for help, only to discover her sudden absence. Bo Peep and Gordon search Rhymeland to flush out what has happened to Mother Goose, as well as watching many of Mother Goose's characters being mysteriously disappeared. So it's kind of like half the characters that we do meet end up disappearing, and we're not sure why at some point.
Mm-hmm. There's an epidemic going around.
An epidemic?
Yeah, all the characters are just vanishing, and we need to find Mother Goose before it's too late. So there's some stakes involved as well, but a simple buddy road trip makes complete sense when you
so
want to get through a whole list of characters. I like the plot. I thought that was a good story. Good way to tell and include like a whole bunch of people for no reason.
A Mother Goose is Gene Stapleton. Like Rob said, they got, you know, age-appropriate casting, too. They didn't go for the hot, young Shelley Duvall, you know, even though she wasn't even really too young at this moment.
Yeah.
And that's really our first character cameo / gateway into what's going to happen. Well, guess what? Blondie's up next.
Yeah, we literally watch Mother Goose create a character right before eyes. Like, that's the first thing we get to see as to how this town, this land is populated to begin with, is because she literally will just think of a rhyme and then bam, that character is created.
An Oompa Loompa looking thing came out. At first I was like, what the hell? I didn't know what was happening, and that was the way the story was. I was like, what is that? And then quickly you do get lost into this world.
I don't like the rhymies. They're just so strange. Besides, they ruin the neighborhood.
Oh, darling, rhymies are the neighborhood. This is Rhymeland.
But why do we have to live here? Can't we live in a real neighborhood? Like Beaver Cleaver or Ozzy and Harriet, you know, normal.
So I have a question for you. Are you familiar with a lot of nursery rhymes? Were they read to you? Did you learn them at school? Like, what, like, do you remember a lot from back in the day?
Well, watching this was a refresher, Rob, for
sure. Yeah, yeah.
But I feel like I thought I knew more. But at the same time, most of these were recognizable, you know. But there were ones that even, like, I was like, what the hell? The Crooked Man, from which you knew about.
I knew of the Crooked Man. And the Crooked Man is told in many different ways because of how creepy he is. So, like, The Conjuring updated him. He had one small part that scared everyone. He almost got his own movie, but they canceled it. And the Crooked Man also showed up in the Telltale game, The Beast Among Us, which is based on like Fables, which is a like novel sort of thing where nursery rhyme characters are transported into the real world, but they're given like real people personas to hide the fact that they're hiding in plain sight, basically just adapting to being in the real world.
I admit I'm a crooked man and I live a crooked life, but I ain't no kidnapper.
stupid question.
Yeah.
Or Once Upon a Time or whatever Once the hell. Is that what it's like?
It's kind of like Once Upon a Time Under the Curse, yes.
And, okay, yeah, there was spinoffs, right?
Well, that too, but like the show basically was all of the characters taken out of the books, put in the real world, and a curse put off them, so they look like regular people, and they had no idea who they were.
But in this one,
the Fable game, they basically were in the real world, but they're supposed to hide their identity that they are nursery rhyme characters, and so they have to blend in and get real jobs and all of that stuff, and do what is called glamoring, which makes them look like normal people because some of them were animals. And so like the Big Bad Wolf was technically the sheriff of this underground sort of like world, making sure everybody kept up with their glamours and stuff like that. So that's kind of what, you know, this was in a way. Yeah. So I just really like kind of, you know, stuff like that. And again, Once Upon a Time is just legendary. So I love that stuff too. But yeah, these characters, some of them I didn't remember as much either. And if I did, I only knew them by name, but not by the rhyme. Does that make sense?
Or even there was that one with the thumb, the kid stuck his finger in the...
Yeah, like, isn't that Jock Horner? Or maybe that's the one with the candle. I can't remember. But yes, there
that
is
might
somebody
be
who sticks his hand... Yeah. Yeah, some of these I know by name, but not by the rhyme.
I feel like these nursery rhymes are probably gone, right? Can you picture in 2025 them saying, Hickory Dickory Dock? Or whatever, the mouse or whatever, ran up the clock?
Yeah, they're learning creepypastas at the age of like 5 and
yeah,
stuff.
You're
like,
right.
Screw nursery rhymes. It's all about creepypastas now. That is a really good question. I wonder if these are still being taught to their kids. I know that they read stuff like Goodbye Night and Goodbye Moon and stuff. And
yes.
Harry Potter. You know, I'm sure they're still singing Twinkle Twinkle. But I don't know. Some of these nursery rhymes, I'm sure they don't really talk about as much. Unless you like go to music class and then you're going to learn these songs for sure. That's I think those are great practices on learning the piano or something, is when you have to like do these nursery rhymes.
I mean, and some of them are so dated even for us at the time. Like that, what is it? Shelley sells seashells at the seashore. Half of these were like the 1800s when we were a kid. But see, I feel like they could actually, even though I just said earlier this would never work in modern times, but they could have a movie where the nursery rhymes are forgotten. And, you know, like they have to try to like remember them. The kids nowadays have to remember them to give them power again,
yeah,
or things like that.
It would be interesting to see exactly which stories they would update. Yeah, I'm sure, like, I think Disney would probably be the best way to go, only because...
They're sitting on Shelley Duvall's. They have this. They have this in their property.
I don't know if I'm ready for this.
It's just the start of another Rhymeland day.
That's what I'm afraid of. Hop to it. Hop to it.
So even if the character is not featured in the main event of the story, the background is still giving us these nursery rhymes.
Yeah, we're being reminded of all the popular ones, and they'll recite some of their lines from the nursery rhyme, and then visually we'll get to see it play out if it calls for it. Was there one that like stood out to you at all, as far as the nursery rhyme just being adapted? Was there like a favorite or one that you really remember as a kid?
Oh, that I remember as a kid. Well, I'm going to tell you, I wrote it down. Like, I kept writing it over and over and over. Ben Vernon? Is that how you say that?
Ben Vereen.
Ben Vereen as the Itsy Bitsy Spider gave his whole being into this role. Holy crap.
Hi, Itsy. How you doing?
Hi, Pete. Oh, I'm still Itsy Bitsy. You know, I eat like a stink bug. Flies, insects, anything I can get my web on. I can't see in the game a milligram.
Between him and Little Richard and Zia, whatever her name is.
Oh, who Pia Zadora?
Pia Zadora?
Yeah.
For the 1 second she was in, those three gave me everything. So Itsy Bitsy Spider sliding down the water spout. The sounds he was making, the outfit, the one-piece spiderweb outfit. He came in, he came out. This man stole the show from me. He should have won the award.
What happened to my mother?
Oh, yeah, your mama.
That was the update that I needed.
Yeah. Yeah, some of these nursery rhymes were played out very literally on screen. It was so fun to watch. And that's the thing about it, is I really wanted to watch this with you in real time, because you are an adult. You're so old for this.
Well, thanks, Rob.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, all of the antics and things that we see in here, it's for the kids, right? Like,
I wish I did see it as a kid, though.
I honestly can tell you, as, you know, younger, I honestly was so, like, enthralled by this movie just on the sheer fact that it was just so whimsical and, like, fantastical. All this stuff
that,
I mean, I was, like, a little less than a teen when I watched it, but I was still into this stuff, like, hardcore.
But listen, it's won me over at 39-40, basically. Yeah. The giddiness of just even that role of the Itsy Bitsy Spider early on. That's why I was saying, it seemed like everyone was having such a good time that I couldn't help but have a good time myself.
Are you all right?
No, but I'm very emotionally upset. I need to find Mother Goose, quick. It's a very woolly emergency.
Hold on, sister. Who are you?
I'm Little Bo Peep, and I've lost my sheep, and I don't know where to find them.
Well, relax. Your sheep are always missing.
Yeah, but this time they've been missing a little bit longer than usual.
Like,
yeah.
It seems like they gave their all, and they were like, this is for kids. Like you said, this is for kids. Let's make a fun. Let's make it over the top. Let's really have fun with this.
Yeah.
So this, just to name a few, and this is not even alphabetical order, but we have Bobby Brown as the Three Blind Mice.
Yeah.
And instantly I heard his voice and I was like, that is Bobby Brown.
It was a hot and sultry afternoon. You know, like August, July, maybe June. There's nothing to do but cut the cheese.
And talk about past case histories.
Art Garfunkel as Georgie Porgy?
So yeah, Georgie Porgy was, I think, the name of the bar that they were at.
That's what it was.
Yeah, right, okay. Before they went into the agency to talk to the Three Blind Mice, who, by the way, played a detective agency. That's just how crazy this movie is.
Oh.
They took Three Blind Mice, and somewhere in the nursery rhyme, it made sense for them to be a detective agency. That didn't help at all.
And Rob made a comment too. It's shot in black and white.
Because
when he goes
blind
to this detective, detective agency. And oh my God, yes, it is so 90s. It is so Bobby Brown too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I needed it. We also have Terry Garr as Jill. Rob took me back. Mom and Dad Save the World, Jack and Jill. To Gary Shandling as Jack.
Yeah.
That Let's was just something throw them in else. There. Seeing them tumbling down in these race car outfits.
Now, I always thought that Jack and Jill were brother and sister, but apparently
so
in this movie, they were a married couple with heavy marital issues. Like, constantly just talking about how none of their needs are being met, and it's always about you falling down first. Why can't I fall first? Like, it was so ridiculous.
And she wanted to go up with the bucket by herself, too. Nope.
I'll take it.
Dressed like bikers who are on the Tour de Force tour.
That's
like
what it was.
This wardrobe stuff was just, it could have been anything. Everybody just wore whatever they want.
Well, Little Richard, who is, what is he, the king? He's the
king.
Yeah,
Old King Cole. The Merry Old Soul.
King Cole. Holy crap. A pink curly wig.
A long one, too.
A long one.
Hair, yeah.
A crown that also pink, right? I want to say pink. Tall ass crown. And in Little Richard fashion.
Yeah.
He just, again, this is Pee Wee Herman. This is like everything you want to see. Little Richard had to be in this. I should have thought of that once these people started appearing.
Like, the way that he was being described, I'm like, I wonder if you could guess who it could be.
Now that I know, because they were like, oh, the king and rock and roll. Now that I would be like, okay, it's Little Richard coming out. But
Mother Goose is no longer in Rhymeland. She's left for the outside world. You've got to find her before we all disappear. And as king, I will do everything in my power to help.
You mean you'll come with us?
Don't push it, Pete.
But why?
Because that would really, really bum me out. As a merry old king, I cannot afford to be bummed out.
Well, Then you've got to release Gordon.
Done!
Great!
Did not expect to see him as the king.
And they gave him a number, outfit, which I thought was great. And some of his town folk were also of African-American descent, which I thought was a great touch. Like, why not have a town full of black folks while he is the king of the castle with the black birds and the black
pie? The black with the, yes. Yeah.
So good. It was a very soul place, right? Like,
and had the best music. Really? I mean, yeah, I really like their
number. Yeah, the number was great.
So we have him as the king, and then I guess he's our main character, Gordon. He gets taken to a dungeon, and we are given another amazing performance.
Yeah, they put heavy metal in it. Not heavy, shouldn't say heavy metal. But they put, like, a metal band in there, and we had, like, a metal song in this Disney movie.
It was, like,
movie.
Kiss mixed with, you know, yeah, something else. They were, like, dressed with these black wigs.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Cheech Martin worked at a carnival. Katie Sagal. And you were saying, was this a scene that was cut out of the,
yeah,
VHS?
Yeah, so Wiki confirmed this. The VHS version that I have is a very edited down version of the actual film that aired on Disney Channel. And one of the scenes that was removed was the entire sequence of Mary Quite Contrary. I don't know if it's because people didn't know her nursery rhyme or maybe it didn't hit comedically, but it was Katie Sagal who played her.
Mistress Mary, quite contrary. How does your garden grow?
Oh, it's a mess. The silver bells aren't ringing. The cockle shells are being eaten by aphids. And the pretty maids are getting uglier by the minute.
I had no idea. So that was new to me today.
Oh, how fun. Okay.
And there was a lot of parts in this movie that had extended dialogue. While the scene wasn't removed or anything, the scene was extended with a lot more just, you know, speech and lines and whatnot. So I caught most of those added extended scenes as well. But there were quite a bit that were added that I had no idea. Like Mother Hubbard and the whole drive-thru. I never saw that. I don't remember that being on the VHS either.
A drive-thru has no food, by the way.
Yeah.
There was nothing available because she's had nothing in her cupboard. They went through everything, which is really cute.
That is too funny.
But
yeah.
Why would you cut that for the VHS?
I don't know.
I think it's something
about the length of, like, maybe what you can put on VHS versus, like, what you can air on TV. I don't know. I think they maybe wanted it under an hour. Maybe it wasn't. They didn't want to make it long enough for kids to, like, get distracted after the first hour. Because this movie almost went, like, an hour and 40 minutes. This was a full-length film. This wasn't a special, you know? Like, this
was a full-length movie. But it went strangely quickly, Rob.
I know, right? Yeah.
You're right. It was an hour and 40-something minutes. But mm-hmm. It did not feel like that. In my head, though, I don't know why, I was also picturing like a musical stage performance, too.
Sure. Like a full-blown musical.
Exactly. But yeah. I'm okay with the amount that we got, because when we
so
did get
I.
the songs, it was...
They hit, yeah.
So, Little Richard, yes. We have Howie Mandel as Humpty Dumpty.
Pete, is that you?
Hi, Humpty. Long time no see.
Well, I was in exile.
Basically, it's Little Monsters.
Yeah, his character from Little Monsters, you can hear and see exactly that same character. If anything, I think Little Monsters was before this, right?
Yes, I want to say like 80.
Made sense for him to bring that 89. Yeah, it made total sense for him to bring that same energy into this role. Because Humpty Dumpty could be anything. And that was the other thing that I found cool watching it now as an adult, is that these characters are so simple and just like they're just straight to the point. Like you,
yes.
you basically could do anything with them and make them as eccentric or as crazy or whatever as you want. My favorite of the entire film, this sequence, I just think is so freaking funny and a little bit depressing, but they did such a good job adapting it, was Mary Had a Little Lamb.
You think you got problems? I'd like to lose him. My wife's in a shambles all because of Lou. Sure, he used to be a cute little lamb, and it was fun having him follow me everywhere I went, until he turned into a gigantic, obnoxious, meddling sheep.
Give it a rest, Mary.
Now, you hear this nursery rhyme, and you're like, okay, cute. She has a lamb. The lamb kicks it with her all the time, and yada yada. But just think in literal terms about how this nursery rhyme works. And into adulthood, Mary cannot escape the lamb. The lamb follows her everywhere, especially into adulthood. So when you get with Mary, you have to get with the lamb. And so they're both literal. They're just alone. They're just alone by themselves because they never could do anything that Mary couldn't do anything she wanted to do because the lamb named Lou
couldn't go on a date.
Lou was the name of the lamb, and Lou don't care. Look, this is how I was written. Me and you are for life. I'm not going anywhere. I think there was a line that I loved. He was like, if you want to leave me, go ahead. There's the door. Do you think I care? Right? I'm not worried about myself because guess what? Wherever you go, I'm sure to follow. And you're not going to get yourself into any trouble. So I'll be okay because I'm going where you're going. I was dying. I don't know. For me, I thought that was such good chemistry and just the way that they were just so over each other.
And it's played by Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper was Mary.
Rob said, oh, do you recognize this person? I'm still shocked. It's Woody Harrelson as
Woody
as
Harrelson with their New York Boston.
Oh, that was the best. Like Cyndi with that New York.
Yeah.
He's always with me.
But she ended up like in a trailer. Things obviously took a bad turn with her because they all went to school together. And this poor woman, she was like, I gotta get away from this thing. That was, to me, I felt that was the best adaptation they could have done. It was so good.
And played to perfection with that Cyndi Lauper, like, I'm disgusted. He's with me all the time. Again, almost like it's like a married couple. Again, mm-hmm. like you were saying, Jack and Jill, they're like unhappy married couples. Like they just can't, they're together and that's it. Al, let's see. We got more names, I'm sure. ZZ Top, the band, passes by quite a few times. They are three men in a tub.
There's someone right there.
Little wackos, 5 o'clock shadows.
Rub-a-dub-dub, there's three men in a tub.
What?
You know, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker.
Three men in a tub. Rub-a-dub-dub.
Paul Simon as Simple Simon.
Which was pretty good as far as the accurate depiction of a simple man named Simon. Not to say this is the only reason why he got the role, but Paul Simon and Shelley Duvall at the time were dating, so it made sense for him to pop up somewhere in the movie. And he did a little ditty, and you know.
He reminds me of this kind of person, too, actually. He would be dry and just, like, simple, honestly.
But I don't know Simple. I don't know. Oh, Simple Simon. No. I'm not familiar with that
nursery
rhyme. Me either,
Rob.
Yeah.
You're right now that you mention it.
I know, I should read it.
It's Simple Simon. Let's give him a ride.
Look, we don't have time to stop, and we don't have room.
He's just a little guy. Please, can't we stop and pick him up? He's such a simple guy.
So get this. Rob had mentioned that, you know, as we're watching it. And then I find this afterwards. Shelley Duvall and Dan Gilroy, Gordon, fell in love while making this movie. Although they never married, they remained together for 35 years until she passed last year. So she has the current in the back seat and she's driving up front with her new boo. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Ooh. So in real life, they were together.
They got together. This is crazy.
Wow.
35 years.
Good for him. And you know, she looked past the exterior and the heavy derogatory bigotry this man was showing in this movie.
So annoying.
If she took that character literally, I could never fall in love with this dude. He was horrible.
Oh, he was so annoying. Yeah. Like, honestly, that would be my like one. But then I get the character he's playing. And guess this. I had always remembered that Madonna was in a band called The Breakfast Club. Had no idea. This man is the lead singer of The Breakfast Club.
Oh, okay.
And they made music together from 79 to 1980.
Oh, wow. Just that one year.
There you go. Yeah. Then he met Shelley Duvall, and the rest is history. Never would have guessed, though, those two ended up together.
Never would have guessed that either. But, I mean, they spent so much time together, so bound to happen sometimes.
We are taken all over this land, and again, it goes really quickly. I mean, I feel like there's never a moment that you're like, oh, this is taking too much time in, I don't know, this one's house, or that one's place, or whatever.
I got a sense of a series. So, you know how sometimes people can't watch a two-hour movie, but they could binge 3 hours of a show? It kind of felt way to me, because every time we met a new character, it didn't necessarily tie into the previous scene, so it felt like we were just getting small vignettes of scenes. And so it didn't feel like it dragged out, because every time they went to a new scene, it just felt like just this new beginning that we were getting. And so I think it might have made it a little easier to digest and have it go by quickly, because all you were doing was just looking forward to who are they going to do next, you know?
And the twist of, like you said, how are they going to update this for 1990 and make this somewhat relevant?
Yeah.
I mean, they did. And these outfits, I'm thinking of Katie. She was wearing this very sexy outfit. Matter of fact, like she had grass on her.
Honestly, this was something that even Peg Bundy would wear.
Oh, Al.
Yeah.
She really would have been proud of that. Oh, speaking of outfits. So we did mention the King's outfit.
Mm-hmm.
Who had those boots that we were like,
I think it was
it the King?
Yeah, it was the King. King had on
Little
some...
Richard. You are the style icon of this movie.
Had them pimp heels on.
Shoot. I mean,
you reacted pretty well to Peter Piper with his pepper outfit. His red hair.
And I called him Night Court.
Yeah,
what the hell is this poor man's name?
Harry Anderson.
Thank you.
Also famous for Stephen King's It. That's my Harry Anderson.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's my Harry Anderson. His role was really interesting because Peter Piper is a tongue twister rhyme.
Yes.
And so he had to not only know his own rhyme, but he had to speak in a way that had that literal sense of like every word in one sentence begins with the same letter. So it just gets very like contrived. And he pulled it off so well. The man, I mean, I don't know how many takes it took for him to do it, but it just rolled off the tongue for him. So I applaud him for really putting in that work to speak and enunciate every single word to make it make sense. He did such a good job in his one scene.
Selling peppers in a jar, wearing a white shirt, like a white thing, a white shirt with some giant peppers on it, red, bright red hair.
Yeah, the pants had a alfalfa. Yeah.
Alfalfa. Yeah, thank you.
Being on top these of his graphic head. Pattern red pepper pants, and yeah, it was pretty cool.
And again, everyone had the brightest hair. If you were a redhead, you were a red. You were Ronald McDonald. If you had blue hair,
you had pippy hair. Like it was.
She did. And unless you were a Little Richard, and those curls, those pink curls that just,
So there was one nursery rhyme that I was like, okay, I think I need to look this one up. So it was Little Miss Muffet.
Sat on her tuffet.
We were gagging over Pia Zadora at the time, but she, you know, part of the nursery rhyme is she's eating curds and whey. And so she serves Little Bo Peep and Gordon curds and whey, and it just looked like this gray oatmeal sloppy thing. And I was like, I need to look this up.
Oh, so good.
We figured out what curds and whey is. And so she's like
too much whey or something.
Yeah, it's not too much whey, is it? Oh, so she's really big into protein. She's healthy. She's getting her protein in.
Stick to the roof of your mouth.
Sure there's not too much whey?
Oh, no, actually there's way too much whey.
Way too much whey? No way.
Okay, so curds and whey refers to the two separate components formed when milk is coagulated. Typically during cheese making or the creation of dishes like cottage cheese, curds are the solid clumpy part, while the whey is the liquid watery part. So we're basically eating rotten food, like almost rotten food.
It sounds so delicious. It makes this whole nursery rhyme even more pleasurable, isn't it? When that spider comes down.
Yeah, no, it was good. I mean, it's very Big Bad Wolf, where it's with the three little pigs and also Little Red Riding Hood. The spider just managed to have two jobs. He was like, I just did this nursery rhyme. Now I got to go and do the other one. I'm going to go to Little Miss Muffets, and I'll meet y'all there. Another big thing about this movie was Gordon's sort of journey into sort of accepting the life that was given to him, right? Like, he feels yes. so different from the rest of the land. I'm not one of you Rhymies, and you guys are all weird, and I'm normal, and everybody should thrive to be like me. He basically is the epitome of, like, no fun, right? Like, everybody else is embracing their character and how they were created, and just expressing the fact that they are different and they love it. He wants to, he's just so against that. He hates having to just do the everyday life of being in a world surrounded by people he just does not understand, right? So by the end of it, he has a change of heart. And I think it mostly has to do with the fact that he got a woman out of this. Because that's going to change anybody.
1,000%.
But that's what it is. He does find out a family secret about him that he had no idea, which I thought was a nice touch because they didn't really need to do that.
No wonder I had to try so hard to be normal. It's because I'm not. What do I do now? I don't feel normal. I don't feel like a Rhymey. I'm confused. Where do I belong?
You belong here in Rhymeland.
But it kind of makes sense in the sense, why he exists.
Stuck in the mud.
Because, you know, nobody's perfect. And, you know, Mother Goose had to really, you know, like, create her craft, right? Like, she couldn't have just hit out bangers right away.
This is so true.
So yes. At some point, you're going to mess up. And this was sort of the result of who Gordon is. And I actually love that little twist. But now that he knows that he is just like everybody else, he decided to embrace it. I thought that was actually kind of cool. And he's like slowly transitioning into his outfit and he just kind of lightens up. But I mean, throughout the whole movie, some of these characters was constantly throwing it in Gordon's face like, oh, you're the boring one. Like, oh, here he goes. And we're just trying to make him fun and loosen up a little bit because and relax.
He sure was, though.
Yeah, so
he played the straight man really, really well. Like you were saying, Shelley must have saw something. He must have been really fun off camera, let me tell you.
But see, he got this way because he went to Aesop Fables Academy, right? Because Aesop and Mother Goose, they're just totally two different storytellers. So like, well, you went to that Aesop place. That's why you came out all boring and stuck in the mud.
Honestly,
or stick in the mud, I mean, stick in the mud, yeah.
So they find out, though, by the way, Mother Goose is... They say on the moon, or aliens had abducted her. That was another thing. And I'm like, I'm thinking of our Charmed, of course. I'm thinking of, is there a storyteller or someone who has to watch these nursery rhymes and these fairy tales?
I was curious how you were thinking about that. You didn't think they were actual aliens?
No, okay. I thought there was someone erasing them somehow.
Okay.
Or kids were not believing in them.
Sure.
Or something like that was taking the power away. But I'm actually okay that it was different. But also by different, like that, they still have to get a cow, the cow that goes over the moon, and the cat, whatever the,
in the, yeah,
the, what is it, the spoon, and the
yeah, the dish and the spoon, I think it's called. I don't
man
know what
on
called.
The moon, or yeah. what I whatever that is.
Can you take us over the moon? It's an emergency. Can you really? I'll go get
Shelly talking to the cow to ask her for help to bring them to the moon. And the whole entire time, Cheech is in charge of this. Is he a mouse? Is that what he is?
I saw him more as a feline. I'm okay. thinking because the ears were pointed, so I thought he was some type of feline.
You're right. The ears were pointed.
Yeah.
He has some kind of like whiskers and some kind of nose.
Yeah.
But he kept saying the cow does not really fly, basically.
Sure. And I mean, yeah, he also had a tail too, so I think he was a feline.
We're thinking, no, they're not going to get to the moon. Well, let me tell you, the cow does.
Yeah.
And it turns into this like statue-like cow, and that had me too.
What a way to just include that nursery rhyme into the story. Because the only way they're going to get to the mom is at the moon. Who goes over the moon? The cow does. So that was a perfect plan. They just managed to work it in.
And then Shelly's doing this thing like her legs are going, like they're blasting off.
Yeah.
And she puts her legs straight out. And and what turns out is we're in the real world with a kid named Michael.
Yes. I'm surprised it wasn't Billy.
Oh, God. You're right. Michael seems to be very popular, too.
Yeah, Michael's not far off.
Mother Goose is there. They basically break through a book. And the cow, by the way, the head is on the other end of the book, still through the circle that they broke through.
Yeah.
Adorable. Adorable.
Yeah.
Gordon! Keep, Mother!
Goose!
We found you!
We found you!
Lost! Where have you been?
Where have you been? And where are we?
we? What's going on?
We're in the real world, and this is a real little boy, Michael!
Whoa! Reality is a much bigger concept than I ever imagined.
I hope it's not feeding time.
This is so excellent. I mean, I've got Little Bo Peep, the cow who jumped to the moon, and who are you?
I'm Gordon Goose, Mother's son.
Never heard of you. But it's so cool that you're all here. Now you can act out your stories for me instead of Mother Goose just telling them to me.
They basically were just kind of telling him, like, Mother Goose has to go back because if she's removed from the land that she created, that means the town itself and its inhabitants will not exist because...
But Mother... why did he want Mother...
So, I don't... I'm sure this is not a Mandela effect. I might be thinking of something else, which is one of my recommendations. But I feel that he was so obsessed with these stories because his parents were having issues and they were like on the brink of divorce or something. Like there was something very selfish about why he wanted to be in this nostalgic.
It's this never ending story.
That's what I'm thinking of. But like, I for some reason thought that he was having issues because his parents were like fighting or something. And so he's like,
that's
I
what
need
you
Mother
think.
Goose here. But he just loves Mother Goose and just was like, oh, I can actually stick my hand in this book and go to a portal and grab her. They don't explain how he's
Short
able to
kid.
Do that, but his imagination basically gave him the gift.
Would you have taken Mother Goose out of all the, honestly, like I would... I don't know if I would have taken Mother Goose out of all the rhymes, but okay.
I also love how he was like, so there's Mother Goose, there's Gordon, and there's Little Po Peep. And he's like, now the three of you can just act them all out for me. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
This is getting darker now.
I
wants
know,
performance,
right?
Performers.
But that's the other thing, too, is like this kid had no idea what he was doing. He felt horrible about what he did. He had no clue what was going to happen. And so like the moment he learned his lesson, he just put him right back. There was no hesitation whatsoever. He just didn't know. He had no clue. Yeah. You remove Mother Goose, the town starts to disappear. And so this is why all the characters were disappearing, because they didn't exist. Their anchor had been removed.
It was tied up so neatly that they could get to the wrap up where we find out that Gordon was Mother Goose's first creation.
Yeah.
And she was so embarrassed. Totally, by the way, I'm looking at my notes that I scribbled like a crazy person. Every time that we get into the car, she goes in reverse. Bo Peep.
You sure you know how to drive this thing?
Nope.
And I think it's so cute. It's so cute. And she knocks over garbage cans.
It's one little touch that just makes this land just whack-a-doodle. Yeah, she only drives in reverse. It's the best way to see where you've been.
I don't know who could have done this in such an... I mean, clearly we had a lot of actresses at the time, but yeah. Shelley Duvall is bringing such magic almost, honestly. She has this magical wonder in her performance.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Oh, so we did mention that the kid, Michael, this kid, he was named Brian Bonsall.
Bonsall, yes. You guys know that name. Come on.
Before this, Bo Peep says it's time to boldly go where no cow has gone before. Of course, it's a joke of Star Trek, but get this, it's also like a double thing because he played a young Klingon.
Oh, did he? Oh.
Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, that's funny. No, I did not know that. Yeah, see, this is the youngest that I've ever seen him. After this, it was Blank Check and then Mikey. Those are the only two movies I know Brian Bonsall.
And I'm looking at this kid and Rob's like, Blank Check? And I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Oh, the Del Rubio trip. Just to make this more of a Pee Wee Herman world.
Oh my god, and so dated. I'm sorry, I hate to do that to them, but if they appear in anything, you are at least 50 years old. Like, sorry.
You know. And what was this trend at the time that they put, like during the 80s, I swear, these women were everywhere.
They were everywhere. They appeared in so many shows and movies.
I think they were in the Golden Girls too. Yeah. Like, they got around. They're triplets. You'll know them, radical ones. They're older, late. I think probably they're all passed away, unfortunately. Mm. I want to say that this and Pee-wee's Playhouse exist in the same world, honestly. Because those triplets and Little Richard. Little Richard was just there for Christmas, actually. He was ice skating with Pee-wee, and now he's the king. But I got something out of this. And if I had seen this as a kid, man.
I'm telling you, watching it younger, it just sticks with you. You are primed to just make a memory of this rent-free, and you will never forget it. It really really was a delight to be able to watch this as a child, because all of those nursery rhymes we knew, and as soon as we heard one line, we felt like we were there. It really is a great children's movie. And I was at a really great age to even recognize most of the people. I mean, obviously, as I got older, I started to get more familiar with who these names were. But like Sidney Lauper, and like freaking the triplets.
Those triplets.
I mean, Little Richard, Harry Anderson. Like, I recognize those people. Like, David Leisure out of nowhere just comes in. Like, I know them. And it was really fun to just also recognize, like, hey, I've seen you on this show. And, you know.
And again, this is such a product of its time at Pee Wee's Playhouse, a variety show where you get these who's who of, it's not even, I mean, there's A-listers in this.
Yes.
Down to.
I think so too.
B, you know, yeah. It's like all over the globe.
Yeah, just this. Very popular people. And I think that they put a lot of work in the set pieces, you know. I just think they went all out for this for no reason.
But the fact that it is not preserved, besides a YouTube, and thank you for the people that put these things on YouTube.
Yes, I agree.
It's crazy to me. Again, I say this all the time, Rob, but we're in 2025. How is Ghost Fever not officially on like some, all these movies, there should be no lost movies anymore.
I
feel like in our generation.
I know.
Save them.
I wonder what movie made like in 2010 or above would turn into this lost, like if there's anything that, I'm sure there's something.
Oh, that's
out
actually
there.
Lost now already, like from the 2000s. Yeah. Oh, you're right. I'm sure there's something out of print.
Yeah.
Although in the 2000s, some things probably stay lost, honestly. Mm-hmm. Radical Ones. I love that a lot of you will listen to Rob's recommendations. And I've heard a lot of you go and actually watch the movies or the ones we're talking about that you will watch. Shout out to Lucia, Tarred by Lucia. You watched Ghost Fever.
That's awesome. I love that.
Thank you for that. But if you are interested in this, please, 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 we'll put the link in the description box below to like the one that we watch, which the extended version. It looked pretty good, decent too, honestly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And highly recommend it. I actually almost wish truly that I saw this as a kid to have the experience, but yeah. I got what I probably would have gotten as a kid. Mm-hmm. And I could see I would have loved this.
I remember even from day one of doing this podcast in general, like this is a good example of what this show represents, is like these long lost stuff that nobody remembers or forgot, but like this stuff exists and we grew up with it. Like it exists. Somebody out there watched it and that's like, we had to review it. We had to. And so it's good that we had access to it.
You know how many times Rob brought me things that I had never seen before. That's what I love too about all the different things that we have and we bring together.
Yeah.
And how do I not like see someone like Shelley Duvall, like in maybe their filmography, and never see this come up? I have no idea. But along the same lines, Rob, do you have any recommendations for us?
Rob's recommendations.
Oh, yes, I do. Hopefully I don't have any repeated ones. I think one of them I might have repeated, but I can't help it. It just fits the bill. But we're going to go with the movies that you should watch after Mother Goose Rock and Rhyme. If you happen to like that, I think you should go straight into the Disney Alice in Wonderland miniseries. It's a long one, but if you want to talk about another example of pulling out all the stops, grabbing every single person in existence in entertainment and put them in this movie, they did exactly that. There was another remake they did for NBC. It was a made-for-TV movie with Martin Short and Whoopi Goldberg. But this one...
Yes, there was! Yeah. Oh my God!
Yeah.
Yes, but there was.
The version I'm talking about is a miniseries. There's like multiple parts. Every actor is in it. Every character from the Alice in Wonderland book is in this. One that sticks out immediately is Carol Channing and Sherman Hemsley. Gosh. Sherman Hemsley was in this too, and he did a full number as well. It's phenomenal. I think it's a very good movie where a lot of the set pieces were fantastic. I mean, they really built the world of Wonderland, but they got every single actor you can think of to put in this movie. It's fantastic. So I would definitely watch that. The next next one I'm going to recommend is probably the only other movie I've ever seen Shelley Duvall smile. And that's just due to No, honestly, it's due to my lack of watching her movies, right? But this honestly is
She's always in distress.
And so this is literally the only other movie that I can think of where she's just as happy as Bo Peep, and that's Popeye with Robin Williams.
Oh my god, yes.
She plays Olive Oil. Yes, and it's also a musical, and it's very whimsical, very colorful, very bright. If you want that same impact, watch Popeye. And don't be confused by the horror movie that just came out this year, so make sure you click on the right line.
Yeah, please.
I have to watch that. I'm really so curious about that movie. The last one that I'm going to recommend is another made-for-TV movie. It stars Fred Savage. It's called The Mouse and the Motorcycle. It is based on a book.
Yes!
And they had an hour special
yes!
that they would air on Saturday morning. I think that kid-like innocence and vibe of Mother Goose is in this movie, and I also remember watching that as a kid a whole lot. I'm sure it's also on YouTube. The Mouse and the Motorcycle. Look it up. It's a gem. It's a gem.
That is amazing. Holy crap. I've not thought of that in years.
Now, if Mother Goose didn't work for you or it was too dated, I do have some alternatives that have been out, I guess, in the last 20 years-ish and not as old as the 1900s. One movie in particular, though, is from the 1900s. And I think I may have recommended this before, so I apologize. It's Follow That Bird. This is my favorite Sesame Street film, full-length feature film. But it's road trip. You meet so many characters, both human and puppet. And yeah, it follows Big Bird, who is taken away from Sesame Street and is adopted. But then he runs away and he's trying to find his way back. And it's just this big pool of characters from all around Sesame Street just in this movie. I watched this movie so many times when I was younger. Follow That Bird. It's so freaking good. I love this movie.
First off, I loved this movie so much as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Only rivaled by, and I brought this up on Brunch with the Hollowells,
yeah,
when he goes to the Great Wall of China that I saw 50 times for some reason.
Yeah.
Big Bird at the Great Wall of China.
Yeah. Follow That Bird is a great alternative if Mother Goose didn't hit it. Another thing, a movie that kind of is similar to Mother Goose in the same way as the plot, and that's...
Yes, taking the real... Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Perfect.
All like perfect. You're voices. Into this, yeah, exactly. You're put into this land. It seems like its own little thing, but it turns out that it's just a subsection of the real world and people can be grabbed from it. And that's exactly what happened in Lego Movie. I find that movie to be funny, very good, very childlike as well.
I'm ashamed to say I loved the first one and yet to see the second.
Second one actually isn't bad. I'm trying to remember what the second one was about.
Like, how do you build on that? That's true.
Yeah, but the first one was really good.
Cameos, yeah, characters.
Yeah, lots of cameos, yeah. And then the last one that I'm recommending, this movie, for some reason, just, it's like Shrek to me. It just kind of makes fun of nursery rhymes and fairy tales and just not necessarily makes them more adult, but just really twists it to make it suitable for adults and kids. I just think that you would get such a kick out of this and such a giggle. It's Hoodwinked.
Okay, I have seen this movie.
I loved Hoodwinked. Just the first 5 minutes of this movie and the way that the movie is filmed, or I shouldn't say filmed or drawn, because you know it's an animated movie, but the story that they created was we get a vantage point of one particular incident, and the minute the movie starts, you're shown the ending where everything goes to crap, and like you're seeing all of these things and you're like, how did it get like this? And so you're hearing the point of view of each character on how they ended up in that one spot together. The first
that
5 minutes
so
is
good.
So freaking funny. Watch Hoodwinked. Great voice actors. It's a little bit more mature in its writing, and I just think that it blends a lot of fairy tale characters into one universe, just like Mother Goose did, but just did it a little bit better.
Did you also say Into the Woods?
Yes, Into the Woods is great. Yeah, I would recommend watching the stage show, though.
Yes, that's the one I
saw
as a kid.
The movie isn't bad, but I would say the stage show is probably
the
best. Bernadette Peters one, yes.
Peters one,
yes,
yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. The film that has inspired me to watch for the first time based on Mother Goose, I came across Babes in Toyland. I've never seen that.
Okay, I have seen this as a kid, but...
Is there any similarity to Mother Goose, Rockin' Rhyme? I'm only speaking of just sort of the toys and just the way that they are fictional or characters that don't exist in the real. I don't know.
It's very dated, though, I would say. I
mean, okay, sure.
But yes, like wooden soldier-esque kind of things coming to life. Yes, I could totally see this.
Okay.
And it's a classic.
Yeah, I've never seen it. This is the Keanu Reeves, Drew Barrymore, I think. Is this the one? Or am I thinking of something else?
Oh, I must have saw a different one.
You're talking about Robin Williams' toys?
No, I'm thinking of, there's a remake.
Okay.
I just saw the one, it's like from 1950 or whatever the hell.
You know what? This, I'm actually not opposed to watching either. I could totally watch this.
I had no idea. What with Drew Barrymore? Never in my life.
Yeah, I always saw this poster at the video store. So this is the one that I knew. I didn't know it was a remake. Yeah, I didn't know about that one. I would totally watch them all. I would.
This Drew Barrymore one, the scenes in this looks very much.
Yeah.
I'm seeing gigantic. Yes, this looks like this would fit. Okay, this is different from the one. Yes, okay. I want to say next week, we have, is it Three's Company already?
No, we're not there. That's June. No, we have.
Oh, Baby's Day Out.
Yes.
Okay. So yes, Baby's Day Out. And if you enjoy Rob's taste in movies, this is a movie that he has loved so many. I remember him talking about this movie 4 years. My God, I saw it in the theaters.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day. And it has been so long that I am so excited to rewatch this.
I think I recommended this movie during Mouse Hunt. So it has that same sort of like zany physical comedy aspect to it where it's just so crazy it works. And look, it's the fakest thing. You are going to get so irritated that this movie exists because of the things that they accomplish. I don't care. I'm standing on two soapboxes. This movie is freaking masterpiece. I freaking love this movie so much. It's so good. I can't wait to watch it. Oh my God, I can't wait to watch it. The bumbling, oh my God, it's so good. Just the classic trope of the bumbling criminals. It's just, everything about it is
you
just
gotta
so
love
good.
It's true. A criminal, if it's bumbling, and yeah. You gotta love that.
Yes. Yeah, I think Baby's Day Out is next. So, yay!
90s throwbacks, you are getting them. So, for our 90s fans, you will definitely be getting a few more 90s movies. And then, actually, we're taking it back a little.
We are taking it back a little. We are doing a little bit of 80s and 90s for June. But, yeah, I brought up the idea. Ryan agreed. We are doing a tribute to John Ritter. We've talked about his movie franchise of The Problem Child for a while. And so, we might as well just do John Ritter because he's amazing. So we're going to, you know, talk about the pilot of Three's Company and also do this film that
Noises
is
Off.
Yeah, it's
a
great stage play that was adapted to a movie. And I recently saw the stage play.
Oh, even better.
See, I know, right? It was playing at UCLA. I saw it either in January or before the holidays, but I had recently saw it. And now I have an idea of what this movie is going to be. And just thinking about John Ritter playing the part that I think he's playing.
Amazing.
It's just, I cannot wait to watch Noises Off. But this play inspired a lot of great stage plays in its form. And we'll explain all of that when we get to it. But it's all
great
for John Ritter. And I just want to honor him because he's just a comedic genius. And it'll be fun to kind of talk about him for the month of June.
So yeah, John Ritter month, basically. Yeah. Isn't it? And well, at least now Rob has seen the play, but this movie will be a first time.
It will be a first time watch for us. Yes, I have not seen this one either, so it what a great reason to
I
do
wanna
it.
I want to say that's rare. Usually one of us have seen like the Resident Evil Momoya House movie, maybe that one was new for both of us,
right.
I want to say.
That one.
I'm actually really excited for the movies ahead. I'm excited for our summer, and I'm excited to take September off, hopefully. So, Radical Ones, please follow us all summer long, and Rob, when you are not hanging out over here, where can the lovely people find you?
I do have a movie page called Rob the Movie Geek. It is on Instagram, all one word. You can also follow my personal Insta page. It's not private, so give it a look if you want a glimpse behind the mask. And that's Geeky Rob, also on Instagram.
And the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast, one word on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and beyond. We are still looking for reviews, Radical Bucklewan, if you want to make our summer complete, please think of leaving us a 5-star review on Apple or wherever you listen to us. But honestly, Apple is that one. We're trying to crack it still. one day, Rob. Thank you so much for introducing this movie this week to me.
Course.
And probably some of the radical ones too.
Yes. Do watch it. It's pretty good.
Find it in the description box below as well as all the links. And as always, stay radical. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.